Some 60,000 of Barack Obama's supporters would learn of his vice presidential pick via Twitter. This month, when the House recessed and the microphones and lights were switched off, Republicans who stayed to protest the Democrats' energy policies did not do so in silence. Their BlackBerries worked, so they Twittered. It's been a couple of years since the launch of the social networking service called Twitter. Basically, users post 140 character or less messages to cell phones or computer screens that supposedly answer the question, "What are you doing right now?" You can monitor the posts of the people you follow, and the people who follow you can monitor yours. Companies like Dell, Whole Foods, and JetBlue Twitter their customers. NASA's Phoenix Mars lander Twittered as it made its way to the red planet this spring. One Minneapolis couple used Twitter to give second-by-second graphic updates of their daughter's birth. Clay Shirky is the author of Here Comes Everybody, The Power of Organizing Without Organizations. He Twitters. Clay, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Don't take this the wrong way. As much as I like you and respect you, I absolutely don't care moment to moment what you're doing or what your passing thoughts are.
Fair enough. There is a small group of people who you are interested in. They're kind of, you know, what are you doing now? Your friends and your family. There are a lot of people, I see them once every 6 months. All of a sudden on Twitter, I'm getting some sense of what Matt Jones's life is like day by day. The other thing is that a lot of the uses of Twitter aren't actually answering the question, what are you doing now? People are, in fact, using it sometimes to ask questions. Right? A friend of mine just said, essentially, I can go any place on the Eastern Seaboard for a week vacation. Where should I go? Right? So he was asking his friends for advice. There are people who say something only once every 3 or 4 days. I've unsubscribed from people who are either too prolific or too banal or both. Right? And so a lot of it actually comes to the listener choice of who to listen in on.
It still strikes me as being a bit pathological. If Twitter goes beyond 200,000 users to 200 million users or more, it would probably have some fairly substantial implications for how the culture will evolve. Do you have any thoughts as to what hyperconnectivity might mean?
Well, periods of hyperconnectivity are typically followed by periods of disconnection. The economic logic of all of these services is get as many users as you possibly can, for obvious reasons. But for the users, right, the early days of a service where it's dense enough to be interesting but not so dense that it feels completely crowded is a big part of the appeal. So once the service gets large enough, you have to start being really choosy about both when you send out a message and when you receive a message.
Like Yogi Berra says, nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded.
Any communications medium can suffer from that problem. And by the time Twitter or something like Twitter gets to 200 million, it's going to have that problem.
I gather that the brevity demanded by Twitter has created something along the lines of connectivity haiku. People are forced to be quite succinct. How important was the 140-character limit to the success of this application?
I think it was enormously important, and even though it was designed for mobile phones, people have taken to the 140-character limit on the web. There's a certain relief, right, in being forced to write short form. When you're writing an email, right, you can end up agonizing over it and so forth. But if you can only say one thing, if you can only, you know, manage a sentence or even a sentence fragment, it really makes you concentrate on what it is you're wanting to say. There are actually Twitter comedians, right? There are people who are just trying to reinvent the one-liner for the 21st century. So already you're starting to get different styles of Twittering, even within this highly locked down nation.
Okay, Clay, one last thing. Clearly I'm talking to you on your cell phone. What are you doing?
I'm walking around Fire Island trying to find some place where people aren't ringing bike bells and driving by in little golf carts.
I'm sorry you have exceeded your 140-character limit. Clay, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Nice talking to you.
Clay Shirky is the author of Here Comes Everybody, The Power of Organizing Without Organizations.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.